Hey, Sarah Grillo here, everybody. Talking to you today about what goes on inside the mind of a CPA.
Hey, stop banging.
I have a baby. In fact, I have three of them ages 4 years old and under, and one of them is home with me from daycare today, so I'm sorry, you'll have to put up with that. If you don't like it, you can always listen to someone else's podcast. I am really grinding hard for my clients and my family at the same time, okay? So some people are into that, some people aren't. Now, so the first thing I understand about CPAs is they have many of the same fears that you advisors have. They worry about fee compression. Just like advisors, the CPA business model is under fire. It is facing stiff competition from new technology. So you have robo-advisors, they have TurboTax. It sounds like a match made in heaven. Well, understand them and understand that when you approach them, your success with them will be predicated upon your ability to offer them a way to fight fee compression and help them deliver higher level services that encourage more client loyalty and then allow them to expand their margins at a time when those margins are under fire. Remember that cliche that all of you have plastered all over your websites about how you 100% put the client's interest before your own? The same applies here. You have to understand what the CPA's business model is and understand that it has to benefit their business before it benefits yours. Now, some advisors are not going to be willing to do that. You do have to pay it forward. Now, I suggest that you do that strategically, but I do see examples constantly of advisors who treat CPAs like there's going to be some tit-for-tat relationship and the CPA is the one that's expected to pay it forward. That is not going to work. Okay, you're gonna come off like some pitch book pusher. Be an advocate. Be the one that sees their troubles in life and comes bearing the solution, right? For example, when you're working with a CPA, do you understand how hard it is to like find missing cost basis for the position he bought 18 years ago in his Merrill Lynch account? And it's like, and now the tax return is at a risk of like having to go into an extension because they can't find it. Like, help out, you know what I'm saying, right? Like, and that's just an example of being an advocate and being there for them in a way that isn't just nominal and isn't just inauthentic and in what you say to them in your pitch book. So the other thing is about the CPAs, they could use some sales guidance. Whoops, did I say that? Yeah, you know I'm opinionated, but the truth of it is that look at their personalities, right? Data focused, logical, not emotional, risk averse, skeptical, a little reticent, a little pensive, extremely precise. Sales is predominantly not this way, and many of them have not had any sales training. Now, all of these characteristics are what make affluent people that are slow to trust. That's what makes them love CPAs. They aren't like the swing from the chandelier, life of the party, risk-loving kind of people. And people that have something valuable that they're looking to protect really do find that kind of a personality very appealing to them. So very few of them have had any sales training, don't know how to pitch, close, follow up, are really kind of lost in that area. Now, advisors, on the other hand, many of you who have come from the wirehouses and even not have had a lot of sales training. There's a lot of sales trainers that focus on advisors, you know their names. And it's just very, very common for advisors to be very well versed in this area. So be a pal, clue them into this in a nice way. Other thing is understand the CPA's viewpoint in time. The nature of what an accountant does involves the past. It does not involve the future and the client's decision-making process about the future. It has to do with their work, has to do with evaluating results after the fact. Think about an audit. Think about putting together a valuation. Rather than forecasting an outcome that is to occur in the future that may be uncertain. CPAs are very much not equipped, not good with handling uncertainty. That is a defining characteristic. They like certainty and precision. So help them to include financial planning in their practice. Help them to predict the future. Help them to gain foresight and to apply that to how they work with their clients, because that is going to lift up the entire way that they interact and the perspective that they use when they are looking at a client account. So the other thing is, understand that their business is extremely transactional. We have many advisors that work on retainer, and we also have some of them that work on commission.
Excuse me, could you stop please?
Yeah. Hey. Okay, hold on one second. I think we're gonna pause this recording. So what I'm saying about that is, anyone who works on commission or has worked on commission knows that these things tend to be very feast or famine. CPA tends to be extremely hectic during tax season. Talk to them in July and they're sitting there wondering how they're gonna pay for their fresh direct bill that month. So what I'm saying is, find out how to increase activity in their practice, get them in front of more people, get a steady stream of leads and activity coming in, and so that they feel busier, and that will be a very noticeable change. That will be something that is very apparent to them that you have changed their practice. So leading with a feeling of empathy or a sense of what the other person is going through is really going to be key to forming an alliance with the CPA. Get them to their practice, get their practice to where they can get higher paying services, right? Being seen as a business advisor rather than just a tax return person. That the revenue stream becomes more stable, that the lead flow becomes more stable. Have it be so that their margins can expand and that there are new opportunities created to serve their existing client base, or that they meet new people. Have them be more confident in their revenue stream. Have it be so that they feel like they have more control over it. And so how do you do that? How do you actually help a CPA with all of that? Well, there's a few things that you can do. I actually outlined that in one of the webinars that I recently gave. But one of the biggest things is just getting them, finding ways to get their activity level up. So take them to a networking function. I have an attorney that I used to work with when I was an advisor, and the guy is still in touch with me to this day. He is still to this day sending me business, and I'm not even an advisor anymore. And the reason is that when I was an advisor, I used to take him to networking events with me. He was like that guy. Like, I would never go to a networking event alone. I would always be like, hey, you want to come with me to this? You want to come with me to that? And when we were there, I would introduce him to people that I knew. It didn't cost me any money. It was just an act of simple consideration. And it really made a difference for him. So, you know, accountants maybe not being the most, like I said, swing from the chandeliers type of people may find these kinds of things difficult to do for themselves. And I think just in general, we all appreciate it when somebody brings us into a social situation that where we can profit, where our business can profit. So next time you go networking, next time you go to some kind of a luncheon or something like that, bring a CPA along. You know, you can also do things with them. You can get them involved with some of your financial advisor things. You can get them onto your blog. You can get them onto your newsletter to get them in front of your clients. You can introduce them to other centers of influence within your practice. Maybe, like, for example, first-time parents are, and I know this for myself, I didn't really need an accountant until I started to have kids. So maybe you have a daycare, or maybe you have a parents group that you're a part of that you get leads from for your own practice. Why not bring the accountant in and ask the accountant, hey, would you like to speak sometime at this event that we're having or at this group that I know? Why not? Don't even think about approaching them during tax season, by the way. What is it now, October? You should have been approaching them, I would have said, 3 months ago. I think starting in June is really when I would have started to go for that. Oh, here she is again with the chair. Hold on a second. Okay, I'm back. Other things you can do. Why don't you, so that you can actually learn how their practice works, why don't you pay them to do a second review of last year's tax return? It can't hurt now and then to get a second set of eyes on your taxes. Accountants always miss things. I'm sure that they would find something and it would be beneficial to you. And the other thing is, it's not going to cost a fortune. So this would be applied very selectively. You obviously cannot do this for every accountant, but it would be in a situation where you're really kind of serious about the business and you are pretty sure that by just doing maybe a few things, it will be enough to kind of sweeten the deal and compel them to consider working with you. So there's a lot of other things that I talked about in a webinar that I recently gave. You could check it out. It's on advisor perspectives. The other thing is you could just email me and we could talk about that. There's a lot of ways to question to build empathy and to specifically find out what it is in the CPA's practice that you could help with. It's a little bit too lengthy to go on. I like when I go on my own and I do my own shows without a guest. I do like to keep it short because I think it's boring just to listen to one person. So I'm going to end it here, but ask me if you want more resources on this. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. And thanks for tuning in. Once again, bye now.